First Chronicles, going to 16th chapter. We do have the Schofield Study Bibles are in. They're back on the back table, and we got them at a very good price, and it's $38, and so that was shipping and everything. And so if you would like one, please take one off the back table and just place that. I don't care if it's a dollar a day, dollar a week, dollar a month, whatever you want to work out. It's important that you have a good study Bible, and this is a Schofield study Bible, and it's the old Schofield, and so it's a good Bible to have. And so please, if you need one, please take it, and it's between you and the Lord as far as taking care of it. And so we know that it's going to be a blessing to you. First Chronicles chapter 16, and we're going to read the first verse 1 through 3, and then start with verse 7 down through 23. And so please that you will follow along with me. First Chronicles chapter 16, verse 1. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. Now verse 7. Then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye in all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it, when they went from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all ye all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we do thank you today for your precious word. I just ask that you will guide and lead us through it, just carefully, prayerfully, Lord, and just bring to our hearts each and every point that we need today that may strengthen us, that may guide us, dear Lord. We just ask that we depend upon you. We realize, Father, that you are our strength. You are our guidance. You give us wisdom and power to walk each day. So please, dear Lord, just guide us today. Lead us through this. Let this be the first day as it is, the first day of the rest of our life here upon earth, and the day that we'll come to meet you, I believe, is going to be very soon, because I think, dear Father, you're going to send your Son to get us. As all the things that are happening in this world today, your return is soon, and we know that it is. So please, have us praise you and honor you as we should each day, depend upon you each day as we should. Now please, guide and lead us. Bring those that are lost and do not know you as their Savior to salvation today. And those, Father, that are saved, help us to begin to speak and to voice outwardly your precious words. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Kind of coming midstream in this text of Scripture here, I want to kind of bring you up to date just a little bit. David is bringing, for the first time, the Ark of the Covenant into the city of David, as it was called, which we know to be Jerusalem. It had not been in Jerusalem prior to this time. And what an exciting day. The temple was not completed. The temple wasn't even started yet. And because Solomon, his son, built the temple, and then the Ark of the Covenant was placed in that temple. We find that David had prepared a place, as you read previous chapters there, and the first verse of the 16th chapter, he had prepared a place. Most believe it that it was on Mount Moriah is where the tent was placed for the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was something that was in the Holy of Holies. Upon the Ark of the Covenant was placed the mercy seat. And so if you're not real familiar with the tabernacle that was the plans were received when Moses went up on Mount Sinai, when he received the Ten Commandments, at the same time he received the plans to the tabernacle. Well, any time and every time in the Word of God, when judgment comes, understand that grace is present. And you don't realize, many don't realize, that when the Ten Commandments were here, they caused one thing, and that's death. Well, in order for God to do and be just as he always is, he also presents grace at the same time. And this grace was in the form of a building. And this building is called the tabernacle. And you start with the brazen altar out in the courtyard, then the brazen laver is next. Brass bowl stands for judgment, and the brazen altar, of course, stands for the cross of Calvary. And then we come to the brazen laver, which is the washing of the Word of God as it cleanses us, so we can go into the holy place. You go into the holy place, you have a table of showbread, the incense altar, and the lampstand. And as we look at those articles, and not a very big room, it's about 15 by 30 by 15 foot high is the size of this room. There was bread upon the table of showbread for the priests that worked there to nourish themselves with. And that's what the Word of God is the bread of life. And so as we nourish ourselves with the bread, and being the Word of God, we strengthen ourselves, we grow ourselves. First the cross comes, then the cleansing comes, and then comes the feeding and the growing. And so many people don't ever make it into the holy place. They don't ever get into the place of the feeding even. They have trouble with that cleansing, and so they stay out there, and they really miss a lot of the blessings that God has for them and for each one of us. So now we come to the next room, and of course the incense altar is also known as the prayer altar. It sits right before this veil, and the next room is the Holy of Holies, and it's 15 by 15, golden walls, beautifully embroidered ceilings with cherubims, and just a most beautiful building that's ever been created, ever been built upon this earth, is this tent-like building that God gave the design to. Well, as we come to the next room then, and the incense altar, that incense, our prayers go up into the Lord. Well, once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest went from the altar all the way through the courtyard into the holy place, into the Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle seven times the blood upon this Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. Now, that was performed every year, once a year, one day a year on the Day of Atonement. It was the only day anybody ever entered into this Holy of Holies. They could never go through the veil unless you had the blood. You could never go through the veil unless it was God's day and God's plan. Well, it's the same way today with our salvation. And the only way you can get to the presence of God the Father is through the Son, the Lord Jesus, in His precious blood. And that's what was sprinkled upon the mercy seat. Can you see now why this Ark of the Covenant is such a tremendous, wonderful, powerful piece of furniture that meant all the world to David? David is moving this piece of furniture. It's the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. It's one, yet it's two separate pieces. This was coming to the city of David in this text here. David established a song to sing when it was coming in. And so, just a little history. We find in the first three verses there a couple of things that David did. He offered a burnt offering and a peace offering. The burnt offering is the relationship between God and Christ. And as we look at that burnt offering, and then we have the peace offering, as the smoke goes up unto God the Father and ascends up, it connects that relationship. And then the prayer, the peace offering is the connection between the blood of Christ. And that's what brings us our fellowship, is the cross of Calvary, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the burnt offering and the peace offering that was offered up. You see, everybody, everything is right between God and man if you always remember the blood, and it's God's way. And so every year, this blood would be taken into this and placed upon the mercy seat, sprinkled seven times. But that wasn't the end of that service, that action, that ceremony. The high priest would come back out and then lay his hands upon the living goat. There was two goats. One was put to death, and the blood was taken. The second, they'd lay their hands upon that goat, and I can see the bloody hands of that high priest. And they would confess the sins, all the sins of the nation of Israel. And then that goat was led up into the hills, never to return. Again, what a picture. Beautiful picture. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus brings us a forgiveness of sins. And not just that our sins are forgiven, they're forgotten. And that's the way the picture was. You see the grace now that was offered in the building called the tabernacle. And the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat was the most important of all the pieces of furniture that was in this building. And so we find that not everybody, David's first wife, the daughter of Saul, was not real happy with it. If you'll back up one verse into verse 29 of the last chapter, chapter 15, she couldn't understand how come David was so excited. We'd call her jealous. She may have been jealous. She may have been because she didn't understand, and it was almost like David was a religious freak. And what is so important about this Ark of the Covenant? What's so important that it consumes your time, and it caused David to dance and to sing and rejoice in such a great manner? Well, he knew what that Ark of the Covenant was. His wife didn't. She didn't understand it. She just thought he was somebody that was religious. You know, have you ever known people that look at us and you go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night? I remember years ago when I hadn't been saved very long, and we had where we were going to church, they had a revival for a week. And the man that I was working with, why, number one, he couldn't understand how that I could go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That was ridiculous to go to church that much. I mean, it was just out of the question. And then all of a sudden, he found out I was going every night. Well, you know, well, he got saved later, and he started going every night. And so but that's what happened. The world, the way they look at us. And so it's kind of same way here. She was of the world, and she couldn't understand at all what David was doing. Well, the world's not going to understand what we do. And I'm afraid that today we have joined kind of with the world, and we don't rejoice and praise our God as we should. And that's what this text is all about today. And so for us to start this new year, This time, each day that we are alive is a new day that we have to serve with our God. And so we need to start that day today. Now, as we come down and we find this seventh verse now, it is a time of rejoicing. Brought the ark in, and now in verse 7, then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Asaph was the one that was appointed to lead the song service. He was the song leader. That was the opportunity that he had as they were coming in with this Ark of the Covenant. It was a day of rejoicing. The purpose, to thank the Lord. That was the whole purpose. It wasn't to acknowledge David as king. It wasn't to acknowledge David as building this tent-like building to put the ark in, because it was that's the first piece of furniture that was brought onto the site, was the Ark of the Covenant. And so it was a very special day, but the whole purpose was to thank the Lord. Just a little bit of survey that you can and you can kind of look at it this afternoon. But from verse 7 to verse 22, it is a duty to do this. And you can find this in Psalms 105. It's not just that there is just one place here that this is spoken of, but David's recorded this once again in the Psalms. And Psalm 105, you could read this afternoon, and it covers the text that we're going to look at today, to be our duty to praise him, our duty to honor him. And then verse 23 to verse 33, you can find that in Psalms 96. And this time should not only be something that was our duty, but it should not be a burden to us. This should be a time of excitement, a time of great joy. And that's what our service unto the Lord should be. It should be an exciting time, a great time, a time we look forward to. And if you look at the a small example right now, while we're coming to the end of all the college football games, and as you come and you look at the crowd and the stadiums, you know, and Illinois just played on the West Coast yesterday, and we talked about how many flew from here all the way to the West Coast to watch their team play for 2.5 or 3 hours and lose and have a good time with it. You look at the crowd and you look at the faces, and even those that are losing weren't real unhappy. They were having a good time. Now, how can the world have a better time than a Christian? The world has no hope. The world has nothing. And yet, why are we the ones with the frowns on our faces and not rejoice? We should be the happiest bunch in the world. You want to know why people don't come to church? A lot of times it's because they look at us. They say, why would I want to do that? You seem miserable. Oh, my friend, I don't care what's going on. I don't care what tribulation. I don't care what's there. Oh, we got something to rejoice about every day. We got something to be excited about every day. And so please, let's show it. Let's not be afraid to be excited. David was not afraid to rejoice. He was the king. Oh, he should have been the stuffy one, the one that come and they picked up and put up on a throne and brought him in, and then the ark would come behind David. That wasn't it at all. David was praising God, rejoicing, and he was down on the street dancing, and he was having fun. Oh, my stars, if a Christian does that today, hard tell what they'll call you. We're afraid to have fun. We're afraid to rejoice. We need to rejoice. Verse 34 of this same chapter, we can find in Psalms 136, and it should be a time of lifting up and a time of rejoicing. So this beautiful song that David has come together with, has brought together, And he has now brought singers together to sing this psalm. And it is a most beautiful song. Many people believe that it's a song that was sung every day. It was a song that was repeated every day from the time that David brought this to Asaph and to his brothers, to the song leader and the singers. This song was sung every day of David's life after this time. And so, please, and let's look at this song now, because again, we see verse 7. On that day, David delivered the first of this psalm to thank the Lord. And now we come to verse 8. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Give thanks unto the Lord. Let us glorify. Let us give thanks. Let us show that appreciation with our countenance and our words. We have no need. I don't care how dismal and how bad things seem. Please realize and recognize what our God is. David has been chased all over the world. There's nothing more important to him than bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the house of God and into the city of David. And what a day this is. He made preparations. He wrote a song for it. He's excited about this day. Do we wake up on Sunday morning and say, oh no, it's Sunday again. I'm tired. I worked all day yesterday. I just don't want to come. I'm going to rest today. Now, if you wake up in the morning on Sunday morning, or Wednesday night, or Sunday night, or Tuesday afternoon, and you should be so excited that you're going to be able to come together with believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and rejoice together, lifting up his words, learning more about him. What a glorious day! What a day! Reading and saying these words, give thanks unto the Lord. Most of your countenance haven't changed. Is our smile broke? Have we not rejoiced for so long because the world has got us down that we don't know how to be happy? Let's show this world what a Christian is. It's the only Christ that the world is going to see. Jesus isn't going to walk on this earth again until he comes a second time. So between now and then, we're the only Jesus they see. So what do they see? Undoubtedly not much. They see us mad. They see us do things that the world does. And why would I want to come to church with you? Why would I want to know your Lord and Savior? I don't see anything different in you. God tells us very clearly that we should be different. Let us glorify him with our thanksgiving. Call upon his name, this eighth verse says. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Now to call upon his name, call him by his name is the real way to say that. Call him by his name. Pronounce his name. Proclaim his name. He is eternity. He's the eternal one. He's the one self-existent. He's Jehovah. Oh, we need to say these words with power and with strength. And then it continues and says, and make known his deeds among the people. You see, we should not confine our amens, our thank you lords, our praise God to the four walls of this building. We need to proclaim that outside these four walls. The purpose of this is to keep us comfortable from this wind today so we can come and hear the word of God so we can go out there and proclaim it. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're to take it out. Take it out with knowledge and wisdom as we have received this precious word. And we need to say it with power and show the world what our God, who our God is. The last part, make known unto his his deeds among the people. As you, and we only stopped at verse 23 in our reading today, but I want you to look with me to some other verses, because verse 14 that we did read, what are we to say, make known his deeds? Well, let's look at verse 14. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Let's look at verse 24. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. He tells us right here what we're to be doing. Next is verse 25. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. Verse 26. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Do you see what we have to praise and to acknowledge our God and tell other people, others about it? In verse 28 now, and you may want to take your pen and start underlining this stuff. Probably should have started a little bit ago. Verse 28, give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Verse 29, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. What instruction? What instruction? We get up every morning and read these verses of Scripture. Say, okay, we're going to start our day praising and honoring our God. We have much to learn, and we have much to do. And we need to be busy at telling others about the Lord Jesus. Verse 9, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Sing unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Sing and talk. Sing and talk. Music and conversation. Those are two things that will grow you if you listen to these beautiful hymns that we sang today and many others. If you listen to that kind of music, it will build you up. It will strengthen you. And if your conversation is in accordance with the Word of God and the hymns are in accordance with the Word of God, you're going to be strong and you're going to be mighty. But do you realize that the opposite takes place? This music today that they call Christian rock is nothing but filth. Anything that the world has to offer, the music that we have to listen to. Philip and I was talking at the bowling alley last night. We're talking about roller skating. You can't go roller skating anywhere because of the garbage with the music. You got to have music you can skate to. There's stuff you can't skate to. It's garbage. So the music you listen to will without question change your conversation. So now you got the music and you got the talk. And you're cursed. Just that simple. With the music you listen to, and the conversation, but that music will lead you to there. The Word of God is most powerful. But the music that you sing, and that's the reason that most churches today are dead, because they have left the good old hymns. And with leaving the good old hymns, probably before that, they left the good conversation. They left the Word of God. And so with the two of them going, but you watch people. You watch them. You watch by what they listen to, their conversation is going to be equal to that. You find somebody that's singing and humming those beautiful old hymns and listening to that, you're going to find their conversation to be a blessing to you. And so, if you kind of think that, you know, especially young people, you kind of think that that's a kind of neat to listen to, I beg you, I plead with you, don't. Because it's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy you. And so you see here we have in verse 9, God knew and David knew. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Your conversations is led by, there should be, by that verse. To sing those beautiful praises. To hear those beautiful words. And we've always said, what you put in is going to come out. What you put in is going to come out. And so, if you want to get control of that, stop putting it in. Whether it's music or words and conversation that you have around you. If we talk much and sing more of the wondrous grace of our loving, living Lord, you will see your life change. I'm not one to have a New Year's resolution. Never have. Never will. Every day is a new day. So whether this be the first day of the year or the last day of the year, start today singing and praising our God. And the way we do that is with His precious words. Sing psalms unto Him. Many of the songs today are of empty words or vulgar words, damning words. Have no value. We have words of value in our hymn books and in our Bible. Sing songs of holiness, of godliness. Talk with His wondrous grace, please. Verse 10, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Those that give glory to God's name will also be allowed to glory in it. We will shine and we will be a praise and bring honor and glory unto our God if we praise His name. We have to praise His name. A lot of people look at their value, their net worth. In the last year or last two or three years, most folks' net worth or their value, no matter what it was in, went down. Went down. But when we learn to rejoice in the Lord, and we recognize that the only thing of value in this world is our relationship with our God. It's the only thing of value. The only thing. Nothing else is of any value. We get so tied up in the purchase of material things and having gain and having, yes, we need to take care of ourselves. Yes, we need to live. But please understand that the only value, the only worth is connected directly with our relationship with our God. You can be a billionaire. Soon there's going to be trillionaires. But unless they know the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not know the Father. And if they don't know the Father, they have nothing. Nothing. And so please. The last half of verse 10 here, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Please, seek the Lord. You want joy? Seek the Lord. You want happiness? Seek the Lord. You want peace? Seek the Lord. If you want fear to leave, seek the Lord. That's simple. Seek the Lord, and He will give you a peace. And when you seek the Lord, then self goes out the window. And no longer is that pride and that desire to always do and be the one that's right and all those, that goes away. Because you see, when you put the Lord Jesus in the middle, then He is able to direct you and guide you. So seek Him. Verse 11, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Seek His face continually. Seek it in this world, and you will possess the next. Seek His favor every day, you're down today, seek His face. It'll bring joy to your heart. If you're burdened with something or you're physically down, please seek His face and He'll lift you up. He'll pick you up. You need to have a smile on your face and not just on Sunday. You need to seek Him and seek Him and seek Him and seek Him. As long as we're down here in this world, never stop seeking Him. Because the world and the devil is seeking to destroy you. And so if you're not seeking the Lord, somebody's winning. And it's not God. And you're not going to be joyful. James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Verse 12, remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Remember. We're a forgetful people. We have the Lord's Supper because God knew we were the forgetful people. Don't ever forget what He has done on the cross of Calvary for us. Never forget that day that you got saved. And never forget the day that he strengthened you. I heard a message this morning. It was on the nation of Israel as they were traveling from Mount Sinai, and they got to Kadesh Barnea, and they sent the 12 spies in. And when they sent the 12 spies in, and it talked about how fear is spreads, because 10 people out of about 3 million, 10 people was able to put fear in 3 million people and not to go into the promised land because of what they saw in the report they gave. So it spreads like wildfire, fear does. Well, the joy and the peace and the strength, and we have Joshua and Caleb, they were the only two of those spies that says, what's the matter with you people? God said go. If God said go, we can do it. Now, how many of us are Joshua and Calebs? When the enemy is in front of us, and the enemy is right there, and we don't see any way out, we don't think we can't do it at all, do we forget who's on our side? Do we forget who's on our side? And we need victory. We need the strength. Remember, we are a forgetful, we're for unthankful, ungrateful, thoughtless people. It says, remember His marvelous works. Well, not just something that's in history. Yes, remember that. Remember what He did to you. Remember what He did to me. Remember that marvelous work of salvation. Remember that marvelous work when He miraculously took care of something for you. Remember those things. We remember all the bad. Remember those wonderful things the Scripture tells us. And then we come with the 13th verse, and it goes all the way back. It says, O ye seed of Israel, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones, for He is the Lord our God, His judgments are in the earth. This 13th verse here, it says, because Your name is Israel. This is all in this song. Because Your name is Israel, seed of Abraham, children of Jacob, chosen ones. They have a promise that no one else had. They have a promise of the possession of land. They have a promise of physical blessings. They were promised health and wealth. We're not promised that. But because of our name being Christian, we are allowed the wonderful blessings of peace and joy and wisdom and strength. I'd take that any day over health and wealth. Joy, peace, wisdom, and strength. We know the number 7 in the Scripture is a number that is a number of completeness, a number of perfection. And not realizing that, when I summarize what we've just looked at today, there are 7 points. And so listen carefully, because in the 8th verse we have 2 First one is give thanks. The second is make known. We're to speak it out. And then in verse 9 is the third one, we're to sing. And number 4 in verse 9 is to talk. And number 10, we're to glorify Him. And number 11, we're to seek Him. And number 7 in the 12th verse, we are to remember. So give thanks, make known, sing, talk, glorify, seek His will, and remember what He's done. Remember those blessings. Remember those blessings. I hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ today. If you don't, please come. Please come. And if you do know Him, let's get a smile on your face. We got so much to be thankful for. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank You today that we can come and enjoy this time. And Father, it's so exciting to come and be in Your house and be with this family. I thank You for this opportunity. I thank You that You have blessed us with another year. And so please that You are able to bless us because we are honoring and praising You. We are seeking You. We're remembering the great things You've done for us, and that just gets us going. Brings a smile to our face and joy to our heart. The world wants us to ponder on the things that are bad and the things that aren't going right, and then the old devil's so slick because he even gets us to blame our God for it. Father, please, bring those that are lost today to salvation, and bring those, Father, that are saved to a place of joy and peace that they can enjoy each day. Guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.